WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Talk show hosts speak out after ABC suspended Jimmy Kimmel indefinitely for comments about murdered conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Jon Stewart on The Daily Show.
We have another fun, hilarious administration compliant show.
Former Vice President Pence at the Atlantic Festival.
The First Amendment, though, does not protect entertainers who say crass or thoughtless things, as Jimmy Kimmel did in the wake of a national tragedy.
A day after the CDC's new advisory panel voted to recommend separating the MMR and chickenpox vaccines for young kids, it'll take up other matters. CBS's Jared Hill.
Today, the advisory panel is set to look into whether hepatitis B vaccines should continue to be given on the day of birth or a month later.
Chelan County, Washington Sheriff Mike Morrison believes they've found the remains of the father suspected of killing his three young daughters in May.
We're not going to confirm that it is him, but we feel that there's a strong possibility it could be.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin School Bus Association and State Patrol are teaming up for Operation Safe Stop Week to promote school bus safety. From Monday to Friday, the agencies will be promoting bus safety education and increasing enforcement on drivers illegally passing school buses, picking up or dropping off kids. School Bus Association officials say they've been working to identify bus stops across the state that most frequently see illegal passings for increased enforcement. More information on school bus safety is available on the DOT's website. State Republicans have resurrected a proposed bill that failed to pass over 3 years ago aimed at increasing the criminal penalties for individuals convicted of vandalizing historic plaques and statues. The historic property bill was discussed in a state Senate committee hearing on Wednesday, with Republican lawmakers calling for that type of vandalism to be upgraded to a felony. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers vetoed the previous legislation in 2022, saying current law already ensures that individuals who engage in vandalism are held accountable. The city of Eau Claire has been chosen to host the 2026 Wisconsin State Civics Bee. According to a press release, the Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce was named as the official Wisconsin State partner for the National Civics Bee. The organization will coordinate and host the competition in Eau Claire sometime in late spring or early summer. Students interested in participating in the Civics Bee can also now send their essay submission online through February 3rd. The winner will advance to the National Civics Bee Finals in Washington, D.C. Dunn County Health Department officials have announced the first human case of West Nile virus in the county. The Northwest Wisconsin region has now seen a handful of West Nile virus cases, including human cases in St. Croix, Rusk, and Barron counties, as well as a bird in Polk County. Health officials are reminding residents to take steps to protect themselves from the disease, which is only spread through an infected mosquito. Residents should remember to use insect repellent, wear long sleeves and pants, and mosquito-proof their homes as much as possible. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
A setback for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers traveled to Cleveland to play the Browns on Sunday. Yesterday, Packers tight end Tucker Kraft went down during practice with a knee injury. Offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich asked if he saw what happened.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be all right, but we'll just kind of see how it goes. Obviously, if anyone goes down that you have as a part of your game plan, you'll have to adjust some things. So we'll kind of see what happens with the injury report and everything like that and what the trainers say, and we'll make adjustments.
It appears to not be season ending. College football, the Badgers at home tomorrow at Camp Randall against Maryland. Game time 11 a.m. It's Wisconsin's first conference game of the season. The Brewers with another win. They beat the Angels 5-2, completing a three-game sweep. Tonight, the Brewers in St. Louis against the Cards. The magic number now at 4.
Tough road trip coming up with travel and all that kind of stuff. Night game, travel the next day and play. Can't take anything for granted. Just got to keep banging away.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies today, with showers and thunderstorms becoming likely as the day goes on. High temperatures in the low to mid-70s. Widespread showers and a few thunderstorms tonight. It'll be a mild night with low temperatures in the lower 60s. Right now, it's 66 degrees.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief Stuart Waddles. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Civic Media's own Terry Barr joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Friday morning, September 19th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, catching us by podcast or through the website, or maybe watching us on social media right now, which is concerning to some people. I will explain in just a bit, but thanks for wrapping up your week right here. I got a question for you. Would you like to win some free Brewers tickets? It is the final installment of Free Ticket Friday. And in just a few minutes, less than 15, I will give you the keyword for today, for this morning, I should say, between now and 9 a.m., where you can text us using the Civic Media app, calling up one of the radio stations on the app, using the text feature, texting us the keyword, and I'll let you know about how you can go about winning that with the keyword coming up in just a bit. On this morning's program, we'll talk about Jill Underle, Wisconsin's Superintendent of Public Instruction, not exactly sugarcoating the current environment in her annual State of Education address Thursday at the Capitol. We'll have Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom talking about some of the week's big stories, along with our Week in Review panel, which has some thoughts on the latest capitulation from corporate media and how it has emboldened Donald Trump to outright threaten the license of broadcasters simply for not liking what they say about him. And we'll ask the panel, what kind of role can journalists and their readers, listeners, and viewers play in pushing back against this latest example of a wannabe dictator doing whatever he wants, including making a mockery of the First Amendment? That coming up in our 7 o'clock hour. In our 8 o'clock hour, for struggling families on lower incomes, there are food banks, but some of those families are also in need of basic household items like diapers. There is a diaper bank in Southeast Wisconsin that is holding a special campaign this week where donations are being matched and doubled. We'll talk to our friend Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good and the Milwaukee Diaper Mission, which also helps women with basic hygiene supplies as well. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will preview her weekend show, and Mike Clemens will get a set for the Packers at Cleveland and the Brewers spending the weekend in St. Louis. First, however, the weather from meteorologist Brittany Merlot says a soaking weekend is on the way for some parts of the state as a slow-moving massive system has moved in, sending waves of rain over the next couple of days. The state forecast for today, breezy and cloudy, on and off rain, maybe some thunder. Highs in the upper 60s up north, mid-70s south, and east wind at 15 to 25 miles an hour. For tonight, the rain will be ramping up and could be heavy at times. Lows tonight in the mid-50s up north, around 60 to the south, with an east wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. She'll have full forecast details less than an hour from now. But looking at the radar, you can really get an appreciation of this system. Essentially, it looks to be sitting somewhere over maybe south central Minnesota right now. And so Wisconsin, Minnesota, the eastern Dakotas, most of Iowa, parts of northern Illinois, big old spiral of rain. And it's one of those where, as Brittany said yesterday, it's going to be tough to predict exactly who's going to get rain, you know, when, but it's just a whole lot of spotty rain activity. And so you just have to plan that you're going to be getting some rain at some point or another off and on throughout the course of the weekend. And again, Brittany has further details on that coming up in just a bit. But first we head down to Madison Studio A2, where we see the concerned face of one Parker Olson and
concerned.
Yeah, and then Alicia, too. Alicia puts on YouTube, ooh, what's in the honeycomb design on your shirt? Okay, be not afraid, people.
I was a little
confused. I actually do own shirts that do not have plaid designs on them. I do.
Is this the only one?
Very much because you're going for comfort. Oh, no, there's plenty of them. But today, just kind of felt like I could put this one on, which is it's got a white base. It's a short sleeve, you know, dress shirt. It's got a white base, but then it's got all these, I don't know, hexagons or whatever they are. Kind of has a honeycomb thing. And so it's got a kind of a beach theme. Some of them look like they have little palm fronds in there.
Oh, is that what they are? Or, okay.
Yep. Or just, you know, the colors of the Caribbean, I guess you could say. Ah. So it's a bit of a little festive Friday fun.
Yeah,
with the wardrobe today.
Gotta get styling a little here.
Yeah, I mean, there's many a time where I reach for something like a solid. I've got this solid orange shirt. It's very bright. It's very colorful. But at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's a bit much.
I appreciate actually avoiding that.
And as I've said before, again, between being a news anchor and being a legislator, I wore, you know, just the standard suit and tie, a lot of different ties, a lot of different suits, frankly, but a lot of solid color shirts for years and years and years. So to be at this age now and have this job now where, you know, the plaid shirt is kind of the requisite uniform, I'm okay with it. You know, I still like to dress up now and then, but
I do like dressing up.
Comfort is important. So, yeah.
No, I am very, very appreciative of how laid back we are here.
There you go. Laid back, is it? What's on the docket for this weekend for you?
Not a whole heck of a lot. Going down on Sunday, hanging out with a couple of friends, watching the Packer game. Hoping to have some wings. I hear we're stopping at a wings place, which I'm very excited about.
You're excited about a wings place?
I am more excited about the wings than I am about watching the Cleveland Browns play the Packers.
Oh, yes. Well, okay. Does that include watching the Badgers as well as they take on Maryland tomorrow?
Yeah, that'll probably be part of my Saturday, too. Yeah.
You don't sound too jazzed up about it, though.
No. I can't say I'm exactly thrilled on that one.
And
that might be second screen content.
That's why we got Civic Media here for you. Yeah. We have saved a lot of people. Well, the Badgers have saved a lot of people the time of actually sitting glued to a TV watching the football team.
Yeah.
And basically, Put it on the radio and listen in the background as you do everything else that you want to do. And that's what you'll get as the Badgers open the Big Ten season tomorrow, hosting Maryland. You can hear the pregame starting at 9 a.m. on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. And, of course, the Packers, as Parker mentioned, Sunday, it's a noon game against Cleveland. Pregame begins at 10 a.m. Sunday on stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, Kenosha, and Wautoma. So you'll be watching the Packer game with friends this weekend.
I'll be watching the Packer game with friends. The Badgers will probably be second screen content.
Yes,
because
there's a lot of seconds. So you will do two screen viewing of things.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Last weekend, my dad and I, we have the TV in the basement and we have my TV from our room. I brought my TV in my room down to the basement so that we could have two things going. And I'll tell you what, Whitewater plays against the number 6 team in the country tomorrow, and that will be the first TV content while the Badgers are on the other TV, kind of off in the corner, not being thought about nearly as much.
I'd be curious to know what percentage of the population is used to watching two screens at once. and how often they do it. And yeah. I mean this in both the TV way and the social media way. For example, I mean, I'm very much a dual screen watcher, let's say the Academy Awards. Yeah. And then on the other screen, I'm either watching, you know, social media comment on things, or I'm yapping back and forth with my friends about it. Yeah. But then there's the dual screen, the TV stuff. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, last night being a perfect example. As often happens on Thursday, we go to our local watering hole and meet up with some friends and neighbors there. But this particular bar, like a lot of places, does not have, they depend on Dish or one of the other places that does not have an agreement with FanDuel Sports, formerly Bally, formerly FSN or whatever the heck it is, because that group has been at an impasse with Dish Network and other things for years now. And that's why I could never have something like say a Dish Network, because I mean, if you can't watch the Brewers, why bother? So while a lot of people are watching the Cubs and the Reds up on the TVs because they were part of a national TV game on Fox last night, other folks are gathered around me
on your phone,
on my iPhone, because I've got the Spectrum on there. I just turned that puppy sideways. I set it on the bar in front of me and I had people watching there.
Yeah. You and I are the same, Pat. We used to do that a lot while we were eating dinner in Whitewater. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yep. So there's a lot of dual screen stuff. Now, speaking of that Brewer game, Quinn Priester starts the game last night.
He's perfect.
Perfect through four innings, 12 men up, 12 men down, including six straight strikeouts to begin the game. And he still got a no decision in this one. Yeah. Which was really rough. The Brewers would eventually come back to win. And that's the thing. Even though you got a no decision, when Quinn Priester is pitching, whether he gets a decision or not, the Brewers have won 19 in a row. Yeah, when you start the game like that, that really helps.
Yeah, it's pretty helpful. I think I read yesterday that if the Brewers get one more win with him starting, it'll tie Roger Clemens' record of 20 wins when they pitch. Wow. Yeah.
That would be cool. Yeah. And Christian Yelich, he's not doing so bad. He hit RBI number 100 yesterday, 100 runs batted in. First time he's done that since 2018, when he had 110 ribbies and was named the National League MVP. So here he is, triple digits. Once again for him. So,
and
I mean, that comeback from back surgery. I'm one of those. I was one of them with the back surgery. I thought, well, that's it. You know, vaya con Dios. Have a good retirement. I was wrong.
I'm glad you were wrong, Pat.
I am too. Very much so. Jacob Mizorowski will start tonight in St. Louis, and that will get us going on a three-game weekend series for the Brewers against St. Louis, and the pregame will get going at 6:40. On stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward. All right, while we're talking baseball, let me give you the keyword for this morning. Here's the thing. There's only one homestand left. It's next weekend when Cincinnati comes to town. And so for Free Ticket Friday, you have a chance to win four tickets to the game next Friday night when the Brewers take on the Cincinnati Reds. So get that Civic Media app out and get set to text us this keyword until 9 a.m., blue, like the color, B-L-U-E. Text us blue, and you will be in the running. There will be more keywords throughout the weekend, more keywords throughout the day, and so more chances to enter, and then one of the day's entries will be chosen at random to win those tickets. All right, very quick, because we're going to have Kia Vakil coming up next, and then today's history lesson. Just a quick note that Dr. Jill Underley, the state superintendent of public instruction, held her State of Education address yesterday at the Capitol, as reported here by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Cleo Krejci. And the poll quote out of it is quite simple. This year, the biggest schoolyard bully in our public schools is our own federal government. She was talking about the hostility that the Trump administration and the Republican Congress has. And frankly, with Governor Tony Evers stepping back, look for Underley to be in a secure position to give the most unvarnished review of how the legislature is treating our children and undermining our public schools. She criticized the use of the U.S. Department of Education funding as some kind of a bargaining chip. And of course, she came back to the near generation of shortchanging our public schools by the legislature forcing school boards to ask local taxpayers to hike their own property taxes just to cover basic operating costs as the legislature passes the buck. Underly had a lot more to say. We are going to hear about it from her directly next Wednesday in our weekly hometown segment at 7:30 from Dr. Underly. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax. But the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop, overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What's up?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely. But bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, let's get into it. Part of our week in review, as we do Fridays here on the show, with Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom's national political editor, joining us back home in Los Angeles. Kia, hello, how are you?
I'm well, Pat. How are you?
I'm good. Past couple of weeks, you've been on, I was going to say on the road. Well, no, it wasn't the road. You were in the air. You were overseas. Yes. You were over in Europe. Where was it? Vienna and Munich were the highlights?
No, I went to Berlin, Vienna, Prague, and Krakow. I was abroad for a little over 3 weeks, and I haven't traveled in a little while, and I just wanted to do some travel and take a break from the state of the news.
I'm very much an advocate of travel and getting away from the headlines for a while, because you got to plug back in. You can't unplug full time. And that's always my biggest fear, is that too many people have unplugged and said, well, you can't change anything anyway, even as, you know, the First Amendment is being shredded and things like that. So now that you're back, let's get into things here. And boy, last week, I would have said the overarching theme, because of the Charlie Kirk murder, was this wrestling of how do you talk about the legacy of somebody with so many negatives and yet be against political violence. That to me seems to be a distant memory now, because the tour of vengeance that Republicans have gone on have now taken us onto a completely different plane of freedom of expression versus what wannabe autocrats want to do. That seems to be the overarching theme this week to me anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they're completely shredding the First Amendment. And any arguments that Trump, J.D. Vance, all these guys, top to bottom, right-wing activists have made about free speech or paid speech or freedom of expression, you know, turned out to be total BS. And that's not shocking to me. And to be clear, there are some voices on the right who are principled and, you know, pushing back on this just all-out assault on teachers, college administrators, college students, airline pilots, journalists, political pundits, people, everyone who are saying things, you know, that are, you know, maybe ugly and celebrating Kirk's death and that I find distasteful, to folks who are quoting his own words and just posting that they didn't like his views and, you know, condemn his death but didn't like his views. All those people are getting doxxed, fired, harassed, investigated by the government, from Texas to Ohio to Virginia, all over the country. And it's a modern day McCarthyist Red Scare. It's cracking down on people's freedom of speech. You can disagree with that speech. And look, I'm not going to pretend like the left has always gotten that completely right either. You could probably point to some overreach, but we've never seen anything like this under Democratic leaders, where they're using an arm of the state and working with really extreme activists online to harass and target and essentially encourage people to snitch on others for their posts online. And it's extremely ugly. It's extremely concerning. And then even worse is we now have corporations who are censoring, whether it's Jimmy Kimmel, his late night show being pulled off the air, whether it's, again, reporters being fired or benched or whatnot, or companies that are just afraid of how to cover this in terms of not engaging with his views or whitewashing them. It's terrifying, the moment we're in. This is the sort of thing I read about in history books growing up and being like, oh, gee, I'm glad we're past that. We turned out, you know, we're not past it. It's roared its ugly head, reared its ugly head again. And, you know, I think most Americans probably think this is too far and find this to be, I think most people broadly don't like political assassination, don't think he should have died, maybe had a lot of people disagreed with him, a lot of people agreed with him. But I also think most people do not think this crackdown is appropriate. But that doesn't really matter. We're not in a majoritarian country anymore.
No. And when you mentioned McCarthyism, again, being from Wisconsin, who'd have thought well, a lot of us would have thought we'd have the next McCarthy coming from Wisconsin, that in Derek Van Orden. But of course, you monitor, you know, all the Courier newsroom outlets around the country. And so while he may be very special for the hundreds upon hundreds of tweets that he's put out, I'm sure that in plenty of the other states, like you're hinting at, there are members of Congress or other elected officials who I think in an equal measure, history will not be kind to when we look at, you know, defending our freedom of speech in this country.
Yeah. I mean, whether it's Governor Greg Abbott in Texas celebrating the firing of teachers, college professors, students being expelled because they made like a distasteful video. Again, like these are public institutions. They are covered by the First Amendment. Those are lawsuits waiting to happen. Oh, yeah. They're going to get sued for a lot and they deserve it. You know, if and when the courts still uphold the First Amendment, which I think depending on which courts you wind up in, some will and some won't. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, for as far gone as the Supreme Court is, you know, if you essentially say the First Amendment doesn't apply, then you're asking for something much uglier than what's happening, right? You're asking for people pushing for a new constitution, a constitutional revolution. Like, you can't say the First Amendment doesn't apply. And that's what they're saying.
Yeah. Although perhaps the most chilling thing I would have heard all week, you just uttered when you dropped the little phrase, depending on which court you go to. You never thought you'd have to say that about First Amendment rights in this country. This week was supposed to be about other things. We are still careening toward another government shutdown. The budget hasn't been resolved. The Epstein files remain covered up. I mean, there's still actual work to be done in D.C., and I'm betting you're going to say very little progress was made on any of it this week.
Yeah, no, the government shutdown we're barreling towards in a little under 2 weeks. At this point, I'd put money on the fact that it's going to happen. You have Republicans who have no interest in negotiating, even though they need Democratic votes. You have Democrats who are sort of on the same page, but not, you know, not exactly presenting a like really strong argument. So it's just a mess.
There will be a lot to cover over these next couple of weeks. And we, again, now as the Courier staff grows and the team grows, we'll have Cam Stevenson coming from Washington, D.C., Capitol Hill, every Tuesday for us, and Kia Vakil helping us wrap up the week on Fridays. Kia, thank you as always for everything. Glad you're home safe. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Back with today's history lesson in just a moment. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 93.5 The Tap. Wisconsin corn growers have seen rust in the past, but a new type of rust could be costing you yield this year. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Rust has forced the harvest along in states like Nebraska, South Dakota, and now it's showing up in Wisconsin cornfields. Chad Stoudinger is a regional agronomist with Dairyland Seeds, and he explains why this rust is different than what many Wisconsin farms have encountered in the past.
Southern rust came in from Mexico, basically, and blew up to this portion of the U.S. this year. In some storm events in early spring. So it brought a new disease here. And so it mimics common rust, except that it's much more intense. It can shut down whole plants very quickly. It loves hot weather, hot heat and humidity. So above 77 degrees in humid conditions, which we had a lot of. Thankfully, in eastern Wisconsin, I don't think the impact is going to be yield limiting. But if we move to other parts of the state, it definitely is.
Chad Stoudinger is a regional agronomist with Dairyland Seed who's been observing this southern type of rust, and it could impact the harvest pace of Wisconsin farm fields. Might want to check in with your agronomist and see what their advice is. My advice on a Friday morning, if you're watching the markets right now, not bad.
With corn rootworm costing farmers up to $1 billion a year, you need the right strategy. Introducing Durastack Trait Technology, featuring three powerful modes of action to strike corn rootworm at full force, outsmart, outmaneuver, and outmatch their every move with the industry's first triple BT protein stack built for corn rootworm control. Take back your yield potential. Make your move at Durastack.com. Available for the 2027 season.
It doesn't matter how a hybrid or variety performs across the country or even in the next town over. At Golden Harvest, we know local results start with local expertise. Hey, like knowing that diner on Main Street has the best slice of pie or knowing the matchup every Friday night. It takes someone who truly knows your acres and will be there every step of the way to make sure you see results. Learn more at goldenharvestseeds.com.
Barrel cheese was unchanged yesterday in Chicago. 40-pound block cheese dropped a quarter of a cent to 168 and a quarter, while the AA butter dropped a half to 180 and a half per pound. October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning up 6, 1751. November's up 16, 1715. Right now, December corn is up 3 at 426. November beans up 6, currently at 1043. July new crop wheat, penny and a half higher, stands at 565 a bushel. Currently, that's just a quick snapshot of where the numbers stand rolling into a finally Friday trade session. More news anytime you want it, plus podcasts at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Mostly cloudy skies today with showers and thunderstorms becoming likely as the day goes on. High temperatures in the low to mid 70s. Widespread showers and a few thunderstorms tonight. It'll be a mild night with low temperatures in the lower 60s. Right now, it's 66 degrees.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Hermans. When we moved here, yeah. I called the Y because my daughter was like, I don't know, 7 years old. I said, hey, I'm calling about your beginner's gymnastics class. Yeah. I'm 40 years old. I've never had a gymnastics class. So do you think I should start there? Frank, I get nothing. On the other end, it's just silence. Even after she knew I was kidding.
You should
like,
tape that.
Come on. And I did take the class and I did really well.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
There's a lot more that unites us than divides us, particularly hockey. Bill McCoshin, president of the Janesville Jets, will be along. Peter Rapine looks at the week in review, and Phil Nee on Outdoor Theaters. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Heavy rain falling, seems I hear your voice. Calling, it's all right.
Oh, today's history lesson, we start with Brooke Benton, or Greg Bach doing his best Brooke Benton.
A rain in Miami,
Brooke Benton, born this day in 1931. He had several R&B hits in the 50s and 60s. He actually put 50 songs on the Billboard charts as a singer or songwriter, but then he had a comeback hit in 1970 with Rainy Night in Georgia. Listen, listen. I could listen to that voice. Here we go. Listen to this.
Neon signs flashing.
Come on.
Taxi cabs and buses passing through the night.
All right, I'm done admiring singers for the moment. Aww. Here's Greg Bach. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing well, man.
Hey, there we go.
For the show and talk about musical memories.
There, there.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good.
All right. Ooh, you got any big plans for the weekend?
No, not really.
Good. I love hearing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, like I'm thinking because, if the weather is handling itself, I'm going to try to do some stuff out in the yard and kind of start to wind those projects down. But if not, then I'm going to sit and hang out with my wife and my dog.
Always fun to do, you know. Let's see. I'm supposed to ask Tony asks if you're still using your CPAP machine and how you're feeling.
Oh, good Lord. Of course I am. I use it every... Here's the thing is, if I don't use it, it's because I've fallen asleep and I didn't get a chance to put it on. Mm-hmm. But it is a part of the every night experience.
Very nice.
Very important.
Samesies. Thank you.
Good. Good.
Okay. You guys, right. You're good sleep.
Yeah. On this day in 1796, George Washington delivered his farewell address. On this day in 1982 was the first documented use of emoticons, which was simply a smiley face made with a colon and a dash and a parentheses. And it was used on the Carnegie Mellon University bulletin board system. Because apparently nobody thought to do that on a typewriter.
I mean, yeah.
I'm calling BS on that.
I don't like the hyphen for the nose. That makes me a little uncomfortable.
Well, that's because you see young kids like you grew up in this era where emoticons, I mean, you get the whole emoji. You get it's animated like the little face winks at you and everything. Back in our day, we just had to type a colon and a dash and a parentheses. And that was all we got. That's all we got for choices.
Colon parentheses. That's where I stand.
Oh, okay, just don't want the nose. You're anti-nose.
I'm anti-nose.
Or you just your nose. You just type in the. Whoa! You type in the letter. I'm smiling at you right now, which is very weird.
I just type out laughing out loud. Yeah, and everybody knows what I'm talking about.
I send a voice note of me laughing.
Let's go to 1960. 65 years ago today, the number one song was by Chubby Checker. That song had some staying power. It came up the charts again 2 years later. It would become the first single ever to hit number one two different times, probably because it's the only dance most of us can do. Just swivel your hips, bend your knees.
He's got Let's Twist Again, the twist.
Yes,
slow
the peppermint twist. Yeah.
Peppermint twist.
Oh,
he's,
yeah.
He has a lock on the twist-based economy when it comes to music.
Twist-based economy. Yeah, you ride that horse until it can't run no more. Yep, yeah. Good for him. On this day in 1893, New Zealand became the first country to grant all women the right to vote. Happy birthday to singer Bill Medley from the Righteous Brothers. He is 85 years old today. Talk about singers with deep voices. So Bill Medley and the late Bobby Hatfield formed the Righteous Brothers. Bill Medley grew up listening to Ray Charles, Little Richard, and B.B. King. In fact, the term blue-eyed soul was coined by a Philadelphia DJ to describe the sound of Bill Medley and Bobby Hatfield.
Wow.
And Medley said the name Righteous Brothers came from a group of black Marines at the El Toro base who liked their style and referred to them as Righteous Brothers. Here's the thing about Bill Medley. He just turned 85 earlier this year as an 84-year-old. He released his latest album. He's still recording albums.
God, I've done nothing with my life.
Well, no, hang on, Greg. This might be awful. We don't know. Is this a good album? No.
Why would you say that about an 85-year-old music legend?
We have already talked about how some of the guys have to hang them up, and they don't hang them up. They still tour. I'm just saying.
This just in, Parker hates old people doing music.
I would like to write my formal apology to the FCC.
Yes, please.
I understand.
Please, before we get yanked here, you know? You upset an old white guy. You're in trouble now, pal.
Topical.
All right. Greg, I'm going to play this next birthday. I'm just going to ask Parker to start the music. Parker's moving around. Is there a mouse running around your feet? What's going on there?
Honest to God, I'm pretty sure a spider was just crawling up my leg.
I don't even know how to respond. You almost jumped up on the stool like in the cartoons when there's a mouse in the house and lift up your house dress.
Okay, I'm sorry. You want the song now?
As I was saying, Greg, I'm going to have Parker, now that he's composed himself, play this next one, our next birthday boy. And I just want to see if you can, how long it takes you to guess who this is based on the guitar stylings and then the singing. So, Parker, hit today's birthday boy. Yeah. I give it just a sec. Wait for the lead guitar here. It's about to come in. There we go. Now, if I tell you it's Chic, does that help?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Who are we talking about?
Nile Rodgers.
Nile Rodgers is 73 years old today, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was with Chic. Then he became a legendary record producer. His records have sold more than 500 million copies. Mm-hmm. Nile Rodgers is 73 today.
He's still amazing.
Yeah. I have not one, not two, but three notes here about the year 1970. It was on September 19th, 1970, that Diana Ross, after leaving the Supremes, got her first number one solo hit. Parker, you got to hit the button here. I'm pointing at you.
He's looking for the spider. The spider, Pat. He's looking for the spider.
There ain't no mountain high enough for Parker to get up and away from the spider.
Man, that FCC joke really came back to bite me quick. I didn't know they could send in
spider. Just like the spider.
Yes, but a bump. Okay, so there's Diana Ross with Ain't No Mountain High Enough, her first solo hit this day in 1970. Also on this day in 1970, again, we're back to doing series premieres here, the premiere of The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh.
And I didn't know whether we wanted to do a sing-along, Greg. You know, who can turn the world on with her smile? Let's see, and happy birthday to Freda Payne. The singer is 83 years old, and she had a 1970 hit, Band of Gold. Happy birthday to Trisha Yearwood, who turned 61 years old today. If she and Garth Brooks been married now, boy, I bet that's...
I think like 10, 15, solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or as he refers to himself, Mr. Yearwood. I love that.
Mr. Yearwood, yes, yes.
Let me see. How long have Garth and Trisha been married? I love that, Google. Thank you very much, Google. 19 years, almost 20 years.
Good for them. That's fantastic.
Oh, my goodness. All right. There you go. Longer than I thought. Good.
Here's another birthday today. Jimmy Fallon is 51 years old today and still employed, at least for another day. You know, you never know. Yeah. This day in 1985, you remember this one, Greg, when Tipper Gore and other political wives formed the Parents Music Resource Center to get labels on albums that had explicit language?
Yes.
Meanwhile, Frank Zappa, John Denver, and others testified at congressional hearings about obscenity and rock music.
D. Snyder
as well. That's right. Yep. Yeah. So that's why you have labels, is because Al Gore's wife and others said we got to slap a label on these things.
And they fought it tooth and nail, and they really, like, it was a big deal. And then what they come to find is that when you put the labels on the records, it would sell more.
Exactly. They figured that out. Like, they stopped fighting it. We're like, okay, this will work. Yeah, sure. We'll put a label on everything. On this day in 1987, the Grateful Dead hit number 10 with Touch of Grey, their only song to hit the top 10 on the Hot 100. On this day in 1989, a new series began with Neil Patrick Harris as a teenage physician. That's right. Doogie Howser, M.D., premiered this day in 1989 on ABC and is still around. Neil Patrick Harris, he's got some staying power.
Absolutely. Well, he went away for a while. Everyone's like, oh, who's he? And then he came back. And we're like, oh, we love him. It's always what happens.
Yes.
There's a star. They're amazing. We love them. We're sick of them. We say no thank you. And then we act like we never saw them. And then we're like, oh, my gosh, where did you go? And they're like, yeah, you stopped booking me. So also,
that's on you.
Two things. I feel like if you took a picture of Parker when he was younger, like he was 12, he would look very Doogie.
Oh, very Doogie. Yes. Yeah.
Also, yeah. Parker, there's a spider on your shoulder.
Greg? Shaking in my boots here.
One more tune here. On this day in 1999, the Chicks became the first group in the history of the Billboard 200 album chart to have a country album debut at number one with the album Fly.
Yes.
Fly not only had this song, Cowboy Take Me Away, it had Goodbye Earl, If I Fall, You're Going Down With Me, Ready to Run, and Sin Wagon. I'll still listen to that album front to back.
Yes, I was going to say, I love all of the Chicks' music. I celebrate their entire discography, but I think Fly may be a perfect album.
Oh, without a doubt. And And no wonder it debuted at number one. They were riding a wave of popularity, and people took to that album right away. Yeah. On this day in 2011, one of those TV things that you don't know if it's going to work or not, Ashton Kutcher debuted on 2 and a Half Men, replacing Charlie Sheen. And it worked. It hung around for, like, I think, 4 more seasons.
Oh, really?
Something like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a weird show.
And 1 year ago today, Shohei Ohtani created the 50-50 club. He became the first player in baseball history to hit 50 home runs and steal 50 bases in a single season. That guy's better than you and me and everybody else who's ever played baseball.
Yeah, but the Brewers swept them.
They can't take that away from us. Nope. Today is National Butterscotch Pudding Day. I haven't had butterscotch pudding since I was like 10 years old.
Wow.
This is both Concussion Awareness Day and National Overthinkers Day. Coincidence?
Of course.
I don't know. I don't know.
Wow. That's,
and finally,
that's a real thinker.
It is a real thinker, yeah. And finally, Greg, it is National Talk Like a Pirate Day.
I bet you there's pirates who talk like me. Just like, hey, guys, would you like to go plunder the booty over there? We'd like to get some...
I knew Greg was just not going to go along with this.
We're going to steal this ship and all its wares. And frankly, I don't like the misrepresentation of me in TV and films. Thank you very much. I may be a pirate, but I'm also a person.
I'd love just him go, hey, you guys, we're taking over your ship. Okay.
Open, let me squeeze past you.
Here as we walk.
Hey, my name is Bluebeard. I'm here to take your stuff. Yeah.
Craig Bach, you can hear him on Matt and Air on Air weekdays 9 to 11 right after this program on the Civic Media Radio Network. Much more ahead in the next couple of hours of these mornings with Pat Quaitlow, powered by Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are we going to listen to this for a full minute, Pat?
Oh, no.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
Matt Nair on air.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns. Right. And
my brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for two things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping in
listen
chess.
To you laugh. Listen.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On behalf of Civic Media, we'd like to apologize to the spider that caused such disruption that we couldn't even go into the commercial break without busting out. Did you ever find the little bugger? Turn your microphone
and
on,
and I
Parker.
Forgot
You're,
to turn my mic. I am, oh, it is
you
Friday.
You are having a day.
Wow.
Jeez, it's just...
If there's anybody listening in the Madison studio, please bring Parker some chamomile tea.
We're going to call the day. We're just going to end this whole show right now.
There we go. Yes, we have the Roy Kent coffee mug. It is Friday. Shall we? Well, let's first do the what's that thing called? Free Ticket Friday. See, it's happening over here too. Free Ticket Fridays. Get that keyword out there. You could win 4 tickets to see the Brewers against Cincinnati next Friday night. Text us the keyword blue, BLUE, like the color. Text blue until 9 o'clock. Greg, would you guess, hazard a guess, that you'll have a keyword as part of Matt and Air on Air, a different keyword later on?
Oh, most definitely. We will have a keyword for you at when we're on the air. We're on from 9 to 11. We generally, you know, we like to tease it a little bit. But yes, just like with Pat's show today, this morning, when we give you our keyword, you're going to pull out the Civic Media app and you're going to text it in via the Civic Media app. Remember, spelling counts.
Yes, it does. BLUE, blue, is the keyword until 9 o'clock this morning. All right, I got my Harvey Levin oversized mug here. Let's pretend that this is the TMZ newsroom as Parker pitches the entertainment story of the day. Parker, what have you got?
St-
Star Wars Starfighter. Aren't you so excited, Pat? We got a new Star Wars movie coming out, and it's star-studded, which is really weird for Star Wars. It has Ryan Gosling starring in it.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That makes me
uncomfortable. Ryan Gosling in Star Wars.
Yeah. And it's okay. Also got a bunch of others, too.
And is that the name of it, Starfighter?
Yeah, Starfighter. It takes place like 5 years after the most recent trilogy end.
So five years after Rise of Skywalker?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's what they're doing now with some of these properties. They're doing like, it's 5 years after Return of the Jedi. It's five years after. Also, it's a long, long time ago. So 5 years means nothing in Star Wars world.
In the galaxy far, far away, where time is a flat circle. What's 5 years anyway?
Where they can conjure the science to fly through space and have laser weapons. They're like, when did this take place? Long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Far away.
You got Alicia's attention. She's like, what? Ryan Gosling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I assume that is a good thing that she's expressing. Here's hoping. But a new Star Wars, she says, okay. So maybe exactly. Not so much the Ryan Gosling, maybe yes on the Star Wars. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So we'll get a feel for where people are on a star-studded Star Wars Starfighter. Is this something that is just getting going in production, or have they already shot it and we know when it's coming out?
It is in production, I think, right now. I saw a picture of Ryan Gosling on set, and it feels as weird as you would think it would feel for him to be in a Star Wars costume.
I don't know what you're talking about. There's a lot of Star Wars movies and TV shows with stars in it, with known actors.
I was going to say, from the beginning, Alec Guinness, you know, as Obi-Wan Kenobi in the original movie.
Okay.
You know, he was a huge star.
Yeah.
I guess I just wasn't
$95 million off of that movie from the back end deal he did with the points.
He's a smart Jedi.
Hey.
All right. All right. What else we got?
Well, Stephen Colbert made a little pitch to potential employers while he was at the Emmys. He brought a headshot and he asked if Harrison Ford could get the headshot to Steven Spielberg and maybe get some get some jobs lined up for him.
Stephen Colbert is the next Indiana Jones.
I don't think I'm not getting that one.
All right.
I don't know.
Maybe.
We'll workshop it. Maybe. So what do we think between Stephen Colbert, now Jimmy Kimmel, and Jon Stewart? Do we think that any of them are coming back to like a network TV show, or might we see some kind of like an independent project going forward? Greg, if you were, especially let's take Jimmy Kimmel out of it because Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart have more of a history together.
Mm-hmm,
well, what are the odds that they don't just say, well, you know, I guess we're retired, we'll cash the checks, as opposed to coming back with something?
I think that Jon Stewart likes his gig at The Daily Show right now. He only has to work one day a week.
Yeah.
And I think Stephen Colbert still has something in him. I think he still has something to say. I don't know if it'll be, I know it can easily be a podcast because that's just the easiest pivot, but I'd like to see him on television. There's something about Stephen Colbert, especially on network television, that's, it still has some push for me personally, but I think the easiest thing for Colbert to do is say, all right, pack it up, pack it in, and here we go. We're going to go start a podcast.
Yeah. Alicia writes, wait, what? Has Jon Stewart been canceled too? No. I just meant because Jon Stewart is only working that one day a week.
Yeah.
That, you know, maybe they could do something. Tony puts up, no more corporate media. Well, I mean, yeah, the mega corporations. Yeah. I, for one, am happy to be working with the corporate media that is Civic Media. That's a fine corporation, a public benefits corporation, may I add, as well.
I really enjoy working for Civic Media and really all of its affiliates.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, so we got Stephen Colbert. You want one more entertainment story to close out the week?
Oh, sure. Did you realize that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are engaged yet? No, you didn't know that? Well, now
that's
you know.
That's not your story. That's
no, not it's not story. The story. It's not the story.
All right.
What is the story? Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, was asked if Taylor Swift might be a halftime show, and he said, just maybe, which I think is kind of baffling.
What, like, you think he was taking a dig at it? Like, she might not be good enough?
I think it's weird that she hasn't done one yet, given she's been a massive star for like decades.
She kind of doesn't need it. I mean, no. She's had her own thing going on.
Also, the logistics of it all, I wouldn't be surprised if it just didn't work out. And also, I think that people would lose their minds if she did. Like, there's such a weird, like, I need I need tough and cool for my halftime show.
Can you imagine, though, that if she was and all these Swifties got tickets to the Super Bowl, but just for her? So, like, during the Super Bowl,
they just left.
They're all in the concourse and milling around and scrolling on their phones, and there's, like, half-empty stands for the Super Bowl, and then they all come rushing back in for the halftime show. Yeah. And then after Taylor's done, out they go again. That would be an amazing scene. And it's exactly what would happen. That's why Tay-Tay is not doing the Super Bowl show. Greg Bach, we'll see you at 9 o'clock for Matt and Air on Air, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. I'd love it. Come on by.
All right. We'll be happy to. Yeah. You have a wonderful weekend. We've got our Week in Review panel coming up right after the news. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Talk show hosts present and past speak out after ABC suspended Jimmy Kimmel indefinitely over comments about the death of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. David Letterman spoke at the Atlantic Festival.
You can't go around firing somebody because you're fearful or trying to suck up to an authoritarian.
FCC Chair Brendan Carr tells Fox.
This is a massive shift that's taking place in the media ecosystem, and I think the consequences are going to continue to flow.
Officials in Washington State believe they found the remains of fugitive father Travis Decker near Leavenworth. Chelan County Sheriff Mike Morrison.
We're hoping to get results back and get a confirmation. Is this Mr. Decker or is it not? And we're also looking towards our medical team to go through and do an assessment of how long he had been deceased.
President Trump expected to confirm a deal with China's Xi Jinping today to save TikTok in the U.S.
The kind of money we're talking about is very substantial. And it'll be owned by all American investors.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.